We've been studying, for heaven's sake, what are you doing? Talking about our spiritual gifts. Well, as we look at this passage of Scripture, particularly 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, there's some things in there that are mentioned that may be a little bit uncomfortable for us, because some of the things that are mentioned are not our tradition. Okay? One of the things that's not our tradition is for a woman to speak in our assembly. Okay? However, Nancy's going to be sharing next week, so it's probably a good idea that we approach that subject. All right? How many of you come from the Baptist tradition? About 5 or 6 of you. How many come from maybe Assembly of God tradition? Okay, more of you. How many of you come from like a Lutheran Catholic tradition? Okay, so we've got people from a lot of different traditions. It's a mix. It's kind of like God just shook it up. And here's what you got. Nazarene, okay, some Nazarene people. All right, few, okay. So I love it. And here's what I try. I try not to be Baptist. I try to be Bible. Okay? And Baptists have a lot of great traditions, but then there's some things that stink. Okay? Like every denomination. Okay? And so what I try to do is get rid of the stink and just do what Scripture says. All right. So here's a passage of Scripture, and I want us to look at this. And in the first reading of this passage of Scripture, you're going to say, well, I see now why certain denominations go down this road. And so we're going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 34 through 37. Women should remain silent in the churches. They're not allowed to speak, but be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. Okay. Seems pretty straightforward. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 through 38. So in reading this passage of Scripture, you would say, well, there should not be any confusion whatsoever about this issue regarding women speaking in a church congregation. Where does the confusion come from? Well, if you would, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, same letter. And Paul is addressing this church. Now, if you remember, this church had a lot of problems. And a matter of fact, Paul is trying to address these problems and trying to fix it and trying to make it so it's according to God's order, according to God's plan. If you remember, there were a lot of people who thought that their giftedness proved their spirituality. And if you have a certain gifting, then that proves you're more spiritual than somebody else's gifting. Okay, that's what Paul was addressing throughout this letter. And you also need to remember that this was a letter. And when Paul wrote it, he didn't write it in verse 1, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1, 3, 4. It's a letter. And so when they would read it, they would read it all at one time. And read it to the congregation, read it to the church. And so if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 through 10, Scripture says, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. Go to
1 Corinthians 11:4.
I shortened it up, so she's trying to find it. There it goes. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. Have you noticed, this still goes on today when men come into the church, they take their hat off. Right? And you wonder, why do they do that? Why don't we just all wear hats? Well, it's because this passage of Scripture. Okay? It's kind of a weird thing that's the only custom that we keep. but it's still a custom. That we keep. But it goes on to say, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It's just as though her head were shaved. So this passage of Scripture says that when they do prophesy, when they do pray, there's a certain way that needs to be done. And this, and it talks about the covering of the head. I don't know if many of you were here. Some years ago, we had a couple who were Jewish Christians who came and did a Seder meal for us. Now, a Seder meal, and I'm thinking we're going to maybe do it this next Easter as well. A Seder meal is where they would, the Jews come together and they do a meal together every Easter. And it's called the Passover meal. And they have certain foods that they do. So the lady who was doing this, she had a scarf around her neck. And every time she had something to present, she would put her scarf on her head and take it off. Every time she would pray, she would put a scarf on her head. And somebody said, well, why do you do that? And she said, because that's what Scripture says. Okay? And so the custom, and even today in the Middle East, the custom is still the same. Women wear the covering over their head. Okay? And so the custom in the church at that time, and even today, it's still the custom in the Middle East that they wear this covering. Now, what did the covering mean? The covering meant that they were in submission to the authority that was placed over them. Okay, let's read on. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It's just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. And if it's a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut or shaved off, she ought to cover her head. But a man ought not cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason and because of the angels, the woman ought to have her sign of authority on her head. And I don't have a clue what it means regarding the angels. Okay, don't have a clue, except I know that they're under authority. Okay? So was Paul confused when he says in chapter 11 that if you prophesy or pray in a church meeting that you should cover your head, that women, you know, as a sign of being under authority, as a sign of submission, was he confused in when he said in chapter 14 that they ought not speak in church? Was the Holy Spirit confused? Because this is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction and instruction. And today is an instruction, by the way. So, is Paul negating in chapter 14 what he already spoken above in chapter 11? Is he also negating the fact that in Acts chapter 2, Scripture says the Holy Spirit... So you remember Acts chapter 2, there were individuals, 120 people in the upper room. Remember? It's the day of Pentecost. Men and women. And Scripture says that the Holy Spirit fell upon all 120 of them, and all 120 of them, men and women, began to prophesy and speak in tongues. They began to prophesy and speak in tongues. Did that include the women? So, when Paul writes in chapter 14, does that mean that those in Acts chapter 2 did something wrong? What about Philip's two daughters who were evangelists? I'm sorry, who were prophets? They spoke forth the word of God. A prophecy can mean future telling, but oftentimes it means forth telling, speaking God's truth. So, were Philip's daughters in error when they were speaking forth God's truth? No, they were not. Were they? So is Paul negating the fact and saying Philip's daughters were incorrect when they did that? And I would say, no. He's not saying that. And he's not discounting the fact that the disciples or the apostles, those who were the followers of Jesus and the 120, that they were incorrect when the women were speaking forth truth. As a matter of fact, if you remember on that day, Peter begins to share in Acts chapter, in Acts chapter 2, we are shown that Peter shares with them a prophecy by Joel. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Okay? So, if Paul is saying that the women are not to be truth tellers and forth tellers, then what he's saying is Joel is wrong. What he's saying is that the prophecy of Joel is not in effect. And I don't think that's what Paul is saying. I don't think he's saying, he's not negating the Acts prophecy. He's not a fulfillment of prophecy. He's not negating Joel. He's not negating what he's already said in chapter 11. But what I do believe he's saying is that there were some people in chapter 14, there were some people in the church of Rome, and I'm sorry, in the church of Corinth, I got to slow down. There were some ladies in the church of Corinth who felt like that they no longer needed to be under authority. And Paul is saying to them, if you're not going to be under authority, then you need to just shut up. Okay? That's what he says. Now, that's pretty harsh. He says, be silent. But that's not the only time. In chapter 14, he says, be silent. Okay? In chapter 14, you'll have to go read it for yourself because I don't have time to read it all. There may be even a passage on here that I've got on the PowerPoint. But what he says to those who are, you know, we're going to get to the gift of tongues. We haven't gotten there yet. But one of the things he says in chapter 14 regarding the gift of tongues, that if you're going to speak in tongues, and what he's talking about is an unknown language, a language that nobody understands, it's a message, but it's a language between you and God, and you're speaking to him and him alone, okay? And I'm thinking probably about half the people in this congregation has that gift. You're speaking to God and God alone. He says, listen, if you don't have an interpreter, it's not going to edify the church. So, just be silent. Just be silent. If your gifting is not going to edify the church, then be silent. Because the whole deal for the gifting is to edify the church, edify the congregation. And that takes us back to chapter 14 again in verse 36. It talks about, let's go back there in chapter 14, verse 36. Did the word of God originate with you? Are you the only people that has reached? If anybody thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is of the Lord's command. And here's what I think is also taking place is that these individuals, these ladies, said were standing up and saying, look at me, look at my giftedness, look how wonderful I am, look how spiritual I am. And Paul is saying, shut up. If you're not going to edify the church, just shut up. I think that's what he's saying. Because the whole purpose for the gifts is to edify the church. And I think a woman can edify the church as well as a man can. Maybe better sometimes. You didn't have to say amen, Rena. Got to find my notes. But let me ask you a quick, men. And you don't have to, you can raise your hand a little bit or whatever. Has your wife ever shared something with you that you knew it was from God and you really didn't want to hear it? Yeah. So years ago, there was a pastor who had asked me to go to Lima, Peru with Grandy, my puppet. Actually, he wanted Grandy to go. He didn't care if I went or not. But he wanted Grandy to go, and I was making about $100 a week as a music and youth minister at a church in Odell, Oregon. Okay? And so I asked him how much it cost. He said, about $2,200. I said, I'll pray about it. But you know, I didn't really pray about it. Because I said, there's no way. And one day, and I don't know, it's out of left field, Cynthia says, and about 3 weeks before the plane was to depart, she says, Brett, why don't you want to go to Peru? And when she spoke that, I knew that's what God wanted me to do. See, women can have just as much God connectedness as men has. Okay? And husbands, I'm going to just say, when your wife speaks, it's probably a good idea to listen. Because it might be from the Lord. Okay? So, and I know this message is making some of you uncomfortable. Because this is not your tradition. It's not my tradition. It's making me uncomfortable. But this is what God's Word says. Ken Hemphill, the person we are studying on Tuesday nights, kind of opened my eyes to some things that was confusing to me in the past, and I don't think it's confusing anymore. And you can see where the confusion comes in, right? Because churches want to, some churches want to be obedient to Scripture. I would say most churches do. But look at, we're going to go back to, so I mentioned the area of speaking in tongues, and if you're not going to have an interpreter, just don't do it because it's not going to edify the church. But if you read on down in chapter 14, again, we're looking at verses 26 through 28. Nope, we already mentioned that. 1 Corinthians 14, 29 through 30. It says two or three people are prophets can speak. And we've recognized that prophets can be women or men. It said two or three prophets can speak. But listen, he goes on to say if they run out of inspiration before they run out of words, tell them to shut up. Okay? Let somebody else talk a while. There are some people who just like to hear themselves talk. Okay? And so what he's saying is, If you get to the point where they're no longer edifying the church, shut them down. Let somebody else edify a while. Does that make sense? Because his whole purpose is edify the church. Edify the church. Build the church up. Build the church up. So, he says in this chapter, 14, if you're speaking in tongues and you're no interpreter, shut up. If you're a prophet and you run out of inspiration before you run out of words, shut up. If you're a lady who is not under authority and all you want to do is have people see how wonderfully blessed and gifted you are, just shut up. That's what he's saying. That's the whole passage here, chapter 14. Do you see it? Okay. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, Paul says, and again, this is that passage of Scripture that says women are to prophesy in the church and women are to pray in the church, but with their head covered. That is not our culture to have a head covered. But the whole emphasis is, ladies, you need to be in submission. Ladies, you need to be under authority. That's the whole gist of this thing. And I would just say, too, there was a time when men took this to mean that they could abuse their wives. That's not what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, men, if you are abusing your wife, and I find out about it, we're going to have a talk. Okay? That just makes me mad. Just makes me angry. And so me and you may go around. Okay? I may be 64, but that upsets me big time. And I would never allow a man who is abusing his wife and not loving his wife and not showing her the tender grace that he needs to show her to speak to a congregation if I find out about it. Okay? It's the same thing. Very same thing. He says, verse 13, judge for yourselves, is it proper to pray to a God with her head uncovered? And let's just put not being in submission. Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a disgrace to him? Tom used to have long hair. Anyway, he was clean. It didn't bother me. But it says if a long woman has long hair, it's to her glory. For long hair is given to her as a covering. And if anyone wants to be contentious about what we've just read, about what I've just shared, we have no other practice than what I've just shared about the women being under submission, about the women prophesying with their head covered, about the women being able to pray while they're in submission. If you have any other, that's all. He said, in every church, this is what we practice. This is what we practice. In every church. In every church. All churches. Practice this. So, as a pastor of this church, for me to say that a lady who has a word from the Lord can't share it, I think I am being in disobedience to the Lord. Okay? And so, that's where my stand is. You may disagree with me, but that's where I stand. Okay? So let me ask you, can you imagine having a Mary Magdalene or a Salome come to our church with a word from the Lord and let's say, nope, you can't share here. I did read an occasion. You know Anne Graham Lotz? She is Billy Graham's daughter. She went to a convention one time to speak, and men turned their chairs around and turned their backs to her while she spoke. And I'm like, I've heard her speak, and she's got some stuff. She's got some good stuff going on. Nancy came to me several months ago, and she said, I really feel like the Lord is leading me to do something with the gift that he's given me. And I said, why don't you do this? I said, why don't you take a class through our association? It's a preaching class. Well, I contacted our DOM, the person who's over our association, and I said, hey, would it be okay if a girl took this class, a woman took this class? Hey, he's my brother. He's Troy. He said, well, maybe we can make it a teaching preaching class. Maybe we could do it that way. I said, okay, make it a teaching preaching class. Until they were able to allow, because in our denomination, it's not, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable. And then, it's funny, he said, now we've got to find a church where she can share. So we had to go to Newburgh. Had to go to Newburgh because Matt was preaching the same day. Had to go to Newburgh because they would allow her to speak in their church. Okay. And anyway, that's why we're where we are. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. So you come next week and you determine whether she's gifted or not. Okay? You're probably going to want to say, man, Brad, you might need a break. Do you need a break? Do you need a sabbatical? Whatever. But anyway, she does a marvelous job. Marvelous job. And she is a gifted teacher. I guarantee you. A gifted teacher. That's her gift. That's what I was supposed to be teaching on today, is teacher. Since we're talking about spiritual gifts. But anyway, she's going to demonstrate it rather than me teach about it. Okay? And so, anyway, be in prayer for her. And hopefully, Nancy, the fear, since I preached this message, has kind of been removed some. Okay? Nobody's going to throw anything at you. It's all going to be good. Yeah. It won't turn our chairs around. Man, if you do, I'll tell you to leave. Okay? That's just wrong. Yeah. Yeah. That's just wrong. Yeah. And so anyway, I appreciate all of you. You know, thank you for letting me work through this. This has been a concern for mine for years because of the confusion. And again, I'm not a traditionalist, but sometimes it's hard to find where everything fits together. But for me, this is how it fits. So.